Brian Mesrowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. Glad to have you with us, and quite a lot to get to. Of course, if you've been following the story over the weekend, the allegations made against Buffalo Public Schools, you'll hear Detective Richard Hyde on with David Bellavia coming up about an hour from now at 10 o'clock. That's here on WBEN. And so much else going on over the weekend, Joe. We were just talking with Sal Capaccio about the NFL draft, what the Bills had done.
Yes.
Brandon Bean was on WGR this morning getting pretty heated.
Yeah, seriously. Don't want to drive traffic somewhere else, but you got to listen to the Brandon Bean interview when you got a minute.
He had some great quotes there talking about wide receiver and the Bills not picking any, which I kind of agree with him on some of what he had to say. I mean, how many more points can you score if you're the Bills? I don't know.
If you are the Bills, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, in my opinion, now I know some people will push back because Sean McDermott has not gotten to the Super Bowl, but I will say, you know what? I don't question the draft day moves of this team. They have done well enough that I trust if the draft doesn't work out well for them, free agency will work out well for them.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. But the Bills were not the focus of the NFL over the last couple of days. Two huge NFL stories. Mm-hmm. One we'll get to in a second. But, Joe, did you see the CBS Sunday morning interview with Bill Belichick?
I did, and I've listened through it now several times. I'm very uncomfortable watching this for many reasons.
Many reasons is the right thing to say. So Bill Belichick was on CBS Sunday morning. He's got a book coming out. What was it called? The Art of Football? Is that the title?
That sounds right to me.
close enough, Brian. Well, he has a new book coming out, and it's on CBS Sunday Morning, which, by the way, great show, but it's not like, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of, you know, it's not that style.
No.
It's a lighter, easy-paced, you know, nice wake up, eat a muffin.
They like to have a lot of feel-good fluff stories on
this. Yes!
This was supposed to be a fluff piece.
It was. And then you look at Bill Belichick, and here he comes, and I'm sorry, I forget the name of who's doing the interview. But I thought this guy was great, and they produced this great because you could tell, like, they still accomplished what they wanted to. Like, here's Bill Belichick, the greatest football coach of all time, all this other stuff. He starts off by mentioning, so Belichick comes in. They're sitting down for an interview. I think it's at his old high school. He's on a book tour. He's not coming off the practice field or anything. He's there to be interviewed by CBS Network TV.
It's not in Chapel Hill after the spring game.
No, this is going to be shown around the country. Mm-hmm. And Belichick is sitting there in a ratty old Navy sweatshirt.
Yeah.
It's got a hole in it. Now, I could there was no story that this was his grandfather's sweatshirt. Not the case.
No, this looks like one of those sweatshirts that are pre-torn.
You think so?
I do.
So I was looking at, he's wearing the sweatshirt. It's got a hole in the front of it. It's old and ratty. I mean, Goodwill would not accept this if you put it in the donation bin.
No, it'd go in the dumpster.
It goes right in the trash.
Yeah.
They look at it, they go, see ya. But he's wearing this to an interview. The guy makes note of it. It's like, well, I see you. You dressed up for this occasion. Like, what the heck's going on here, Bill? Like, I there's something about that that really bugs me. Like, you're on TV.
Yeah.
Put a little effort into it.
Right. I mean, to be fair to Bill Belichick, he did wear a suit when he was an analyst for a year at the NFL Network.
Yeah, I know you own a suit.
Yeah.
You were a coach in the NFL. You've been on TV in a suit before. And you're wearing this ratty, it's got holes in it. Like, no one's parents would let them out of the house like that.
No.
And like you're 72 years old, 71?
Do you think that's how he went to recruit players at UNC? He went to the
you
house
show
like
up in some guy's living room and their parents are like, what is this bum coach doing here? This guy, I don't care how many Super Bowls you've won. Apparently that doesn't buy you enough to get a shirt. But they got Van Heusen on the sale rack over at the discount store around the corner. Get yourself one of those.
It is an interesting
He's 71 choice. Years old. That's not some like Travis Scott fashion thing, right?
I still think it's pre-ripped. I don't think it's naturally ripped.
I put a picture of Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols on my Twitter this morning.
I saw that.
Because that's the shirt that he wore, ripped up, and you know, he looks like, I'm a street scoundrel.
Yeah.
That's what Bill Belichick, he's trying to be Sid Vicious.
It's not working out.
I mean, no!
It's a weird look. Like you said, on the show, but just alone, unless you're showing me clips of UNC's practice, this is just a weird style choice.
So, but everyone else was focused on his girlfriend.
I'm telling you, I'm worried about Bill Belichick, and I'm wondering if UNC is questioning what they got themselves into. This is the clip that I think people are talking about this morning.
What I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one...
We're not talking about this? I really want to know how they met.
So she's over there in the corner.
Oh yeah, she's off to the corner, but behind some desk and laptop.
And apparently they included that in the final thing because she did that a bunch of times during the interview.
Yeah.
Like she's his handler.
That's crazy.
What's going on here?
I'm telling you, there is a story here. We're not talking about that? How you met?
Does it raise some questions?
It does, you know. I mean, people are drawing...
When did you... How old is she?
She's 24.
How long have they been together?
Well, he got divorced 3 years ago, so...
So a couple years...
I think they were together when he was still with the Patriots.
So they've been together a couple years?
Yeah. Right?
Just like, are we pushing the limits here? Is this why we're not talking about that?
We're pushing the limits.
We've been pushing the limits, but you know what I mean. Like, was this interview almost a Chris Hansen interview is what I'm trying to say?
Oh, I mean, we're not talking about that. Again, it's more questions than if he just gave some BS answer.
A lot more questions.
Yeah.
But she's doing that in the corner. She's like, you know, his, what, is she protecting him? Is she his handler? Is she bossing him around? Or like, what's going on here?
Right, and if I'm CBS, I would have actually included a few more because I would like to see what else did she
interject. I feel like Donald Trump. I need CBS to give me the full transcript.
Yes. We know they will if we just ask.
I need the full thing of what went on here. It's the strangest look.
It's because before this interview, Brian, it's already a strange couple, right? I mean, Bill Belichick, I'm sorry, like... Bill Belichick's not, who's someone in their 70s you could see with a 20-year-old? Brad Pitt, George Clooney, right? Bill Belichick was never one of those guys.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick was the mean guy, and I think he was married for 50 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of a sudden now, this girl's walking around with them. They're all over social media. So there were questions before. Now, I don't know. I hope he's okay. And I sincerely mean that.
Really?
He's okay.
Because before this interview, everyone was saying he is doing A-okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two thumbs up.
Yeah. It's a good comparison. He's not like George Clooney. Is George Clooney 70?
No, he's in his 60s. But if George Clooney at 70-something was dating a 24-year-old, no one's going to go, what's she doing? It's George Clooney.
Yeah, like what's going on here?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he has the vigor of a... Brad Pitt or George Clooney at that age?
No. I mean, it is weird to see him on the beach dressed up as a fisherman posing with a woman dressed as a mermaid. I'm sorry. It's a weird look for Bill Belichick.
We've talked about this before. Like the weird thing for me is the meeting of the parents.
Yes.
Like Belichick. Like you. Yeah. They're younger than you. And your daughter brings home Bill Belichick, who's like older than you are. And you're just like,
this is weird.
What do you want me to do here? I mean, I wouldn't even know what to say.
It's so out of left field for Bill Belichick. Again, I'm just going to throw other actors. Leo DiCaprio is, people make fun of him for dating women in their early 20s, mm-hmm. right? That's just, this is so strange. And I don't know, this just makes me really question. Again, I mean, it doesn't bother my life. I kind of feel bad for the guy. I hope he's okay. That's all. He wrote a book, so he's probably doing okay.
803-0930 is our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, or you can give us a call at that number, 803-0930, if I look on the text board. Someone just texted in. He dresses like that because his girlfriend took all of his money. He can't afford nice clothes. That might have been it. But no, I like another text that came in and said, do you think she's in it for the money? And I don't know. I don't think she is. I think she's in it for the fame. And there's a difference.
I mean, that's what I always thought. But in it for the fame, why does she have to have control over the interview?
Because she needs to keep it going. Like, we can't have this relationship fall apart on CBS Sunday Morning.
So if he says how they meet, that's going to ruin the relationship?
Maybe.
I mean, I guess.
Maybe the answer would just throw this whole thing out. But, like, you know what I'm saying? She is in it for the fame, and I feel like I know this because she's always being pictured.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
She was on the field with the coaching staff during the UNC spring game. Like, she is where he is, she is, because she knows the camera's there.
She's in the Super Bowl, like, getting her picture taken. Like, there's actual celebrities.
Yeah.
Who, like, there, and she's like, hey, everyone got to get a picture of me. Why? Because I'm dating Bill Belichick. I don't know. I just, got another text in. The man doesn't even look like he showers regularly.
That is a fair description of his look.
It's even more cringy than the absurd age difference. If he was making $75,000 a year, she'd certainly be looking the other way. No doubt.
Yeah, I don't think $75,000 is going to get you.
The old guys at the gym were better dressed than Bill Belichick on national TV. I take offense to that as a viewer.
Yes.
Am I allowed to, like, for real? I mean, we've all dressed down a little bit. Like, the standards have gone down. They haven't gone down that far. You know, it's like all the local sports report. I mean, you see the sports people everywhere this weekend because it's the NFL draft. And everyone's got a hoodie on underneath the suit coat. Yep. And everyone's wearing Air Jordans with the suit.
I wish
you know, because we're so cool.
Yeah.
They killed it. It's done. The Jordans aren't cool anymore. They were killed by the local TV sports reporter because everyone's wearing them. There's no way they can be cool when you got, you know, a local Channel 18 guy who's, you know, just the uncoolest person in the world wearing a hoodie with a suit and a pair of Air Jordans. Like, yeah, I think we've killed the coolness of this. It's jumped the shark.
Yeah, I would say, like, me currently right now is, like, on the line of dress down. Like, this is the low end of acceptable. And I look better than...
You still look better than Bill.
Belichick. I was more dressed up than Belichick yesterday at Hardline because we had a guest in studio.
When my shirts get to that, they're used as, like, for polishing.
I was just going to say.
Or, you know, wiping...
They're dust rags.
...down the car or something like that. Like, that's it.
The dog's paws. I mean, a list of things. Yeah.
And he wore it on national TV.
That would be, in the Beamer house, that would be cut up and put under the sink for when we do the windows or the counter or whatever.
So he shows up for an interview in a way that's totally unacceptable, and he brings with him his person that's very close to him who wants to call all of the shots during the interview. And what happens? This is what happened to the Shador Sanders guy.
Yes.
Right? He shows up to all these interviews, and everyone hates him. Right, he acts like the biggest fool, according to all the reports and all these interviews. Acts like he owns the place. He's got music blaring in his headphones.
Yep.
Doesn't turn it off while the team's trying to talk to him. Acts like he's bigger than everybody. And then over in the corner, his dad's really the one pulling all the strings.
Builds his own draft room. it's just him and Deion sitting in that draft room for 3 days, by the way. And, you know, people wonder, why did Cam Ward go first overall? Cam Ward went first overall. You know why? Because he put a very simple suit on. He only talked football, and he's there for the game. He's not there for all the side deals and everything.
And that performance against the Sabres in 2006.
You know, the Titans looked at that and said, we need this guy on our team 20 years later.
So Shador Sanders, everyone was like, oh, first round QB, one of the best QBs in the draft. He ends up getting taken, what, in the fifth round?
Fifth round by the Cleveland Browns,
which his father said in the past, there's no way he'd let his son get drafted by a team like the Cleveland Browns. Hilarious. But, I mean, it is really every father's dream. I was thinking about this yesterday because I'm like now entering that mode. My son had his first T-ball practice yesterday.
How'd that go?
So, I mean, you know, it's 5-year-olds playing T-ball. Yeah. but, like, it's like every lesson that you'd hear from a coach or your father, right? Like, it doesn't matter how much talent you have. You have to carry yourself the right way, act respectful, be a great teammate, and that is what people will notice. And if you aren't any of those things, it doesn't matter how good you are. Everyone will, you know, no one's going to want to work with you. That's exactly what happened here. And every little league coach has to be drooling over, like, we have an example, a real life example to show everybody that, you know, that kids can relate to. They actually know who it is, and we're not talking about, like, Dan Marino or something like that.
This is a kid who obviously has the talent. I mean, look what they did in Colorado. Went from four wins to
does he have the talent?
Game.
How many bowl games did they win?
He was only in Colorado for 2 years, Brian. They won one.
So
they didn't go to one this first year when they transferred.
So he can't be that great.
No, but what I'm saying is, you look at him. He did turn the school. I mean, they turned that team around. Went from four wins to competing for a championship or for a Big 12 championship. I mean, had the talent, was supposed to go in the first round, but like you said, I mean, it's the interview, it's the attitude, and I do think his dad being there was like,
he's only been coached by his dad for his entire life.
That too.
So
right?
You know,
he was at Jackson State with Dion, transferred to Colorado with Dion, and I think a lot of coaches
played high school with his dad as the coach.
Yes, and I think a lot of coaches were scared. If I don't do something, Deion Sanders is going to call me. I'm trying to coach a team.
Yeah.
And I got to have a meeting with Deion Sanders because of his son.
You need to be a little bit coachable. But everyone was feeling bad for him, not because he got picked late, but because he got prank phone called.
Yeah. This was a little too much, I think.
So now I see the reaction. So he gets a prank phone call. He's waiting to be drafted, and somebody calls the phone that only teams are supposed to know and, you know, says, hey, I know you've been waiting a long time for this, but you're going to have to wait a little longer. And Joe, I feel like a jerk because apparently everyone's outraged by this. A friend sent me that video over the weekend. I was dying laughing. I thought it was hilarious.
I'll tell you this. I am not outraged, but there was a part of me that watched that and felt bad. I wouldn't say I'm outraged. Like, I'm not letting it.
People are like, oh my, how does this ever happen? This sick, twisted joke. Like, that guy's already a millionaire. He's born with a diamond-encrusted Deion Sanders spoon in his mouth. Like, yeah, someone played a joke on him. Like, it's not the end of the world.
I feel bad for him. And again, I think he brought a lot of it onto himself with this, you know, I'm legendary. And again, I think, you know, scaring a lot of teams away. But I mean, obviously the third day, this kid was really starting to feel it. And then the phone call happened. I have to say, I'm not outraged about it. I don't think anyone should be in trouble. I did feel a little bad for the kid.
Like, text coming. The only reason we know about the prank phone call is because he was live streaming his lack of being hit. That's the perfect example. No one would even know about it if he wasn't so arrogant in the first place. B-Maz and Beamer here, 803-0930 to reach us on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. We're talking about the draft. Bill Belichick, his beautiful ripped up shirt and everything else. Before that, the Shador Sanders thing where the guy, I mean, no team wanted him. You know, just because I guess he bombed all of his interviews with the team.
And that's the thing, like, you know, all these people, I get it. They get paid to talk while a draft's going on, Brian. I mean, I'd like to think I have a little bit of talent. I couldn't do that for 3 days, right? So they have to have something to talk about. But you know, no one was in on those interviews except for the GM, and I'm guessing Deion Sanders. So people, you know, want to talk, but they don't know the specifics. They don't know what was said and, you know, what irked the GM to, I mean, even Cleveland, who took Sanders, took another quarterback before him.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we'll see what happens to him in Cleveland, where they have a long track record of success at quarterback. No.
The one quarterback that I can remember took him to the playoffs, was 60 minutes away from going to the AFC Championship, lost, and has now taken the Buccaneers to the playoffs twice. Beside that, they have swung a miss. But I mean, did you see that quarterback room? My gosh.
Well, it's pretty crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
how crazy would it be if Flacco ends up being the starter?
I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. Yeah. We were talking about that with Sal Capaccio earlier this morning, and then also this morning, a couple of guests to talk about. It's going to be a big week of earnings reports, jobs reports, and things like that. A lot of things that will move the market one way or the other. And, you know, on that same topic, Mark Hamrick, Jill Schlesinger joined us earlier this morning. On that same topic, there was a new survey from LendingTree. And they found that 25% of buy now, pay later users are funding grocery purchases with the loans. That's up from 14%. Just a year ago. The buy now, pay later. 803-0930. I am interested to hear how many people are using these things because they've exploded in popularity. I've never used it before, but I've been saying, and I think I say this to Jill, you can vouch for me on this, at least twice a year, where I'll just you know, kind of it'll pop into my head and I have to bring it up again. But for the last 3 years, during an interview with Jill, I'll just kind of randomly blurt out, how in the world can our economy be doing well if I, every time I go to buy a T-shirt on the internet, it's asking me if I want to do so in four easy payments, yeah. installments of $6.35 or whatever it would be. Like, there's no way that that, and it's obviously people are doing it or they wouldn't be offering it more and more and more, but there's no way that I could be asked to finance a $30 T-shirt and we can be in like a healthy financial situation here.
Yeah, I think that's a fair breakdown. I do also think it's people living above their means. I mean, you talk about the T-shirt, but the grocery store alone, right? I mean, my son loves macaroni and cheese, right? Now, I could just get the Easy Mac, which is close to $5 out at the grocery store, or I can get the 50-cent box that will get me two servings. Two of those for a dollar will get as many servings as the Easy Mac. I think people are going to the, you know, oh, I can pay for this later down the road. Instead of getting the essential groceries, now you're getting the expensive steaks, you're getting the Easy Mac. I think, now, I don't think that's all of it. I do agree with your assumption or your breakdown that, yeah, the economy's not the best it's been. However, I do also think this is an example of people saying, I'll have the money later. And it's living above your means, living above your paycheck.
Well, there's one thing. To me, this is like a big shift because we were talking about it most recently with DoorDash and like fast food purchases. Mm-hmm. Now you can split it up into four easy payments. Kind of crazy. But there's other things that I could see it kind of making sense a little bit. You know, we talked about the, was it Coachella, the festival?
Yes.
Recently, where over half of people bought their ticket in installments, which, look, don't get me wrong, I'm still of the mind, and this is how I personally feel about, you can either buy the ticket or you can't. But I can see how an expensive item like that, you would say, all right, you know, hey, it's no interest. I'll remember to pay it off. I like keeping my money. Okay, I'll break it up. I saw a recent story that was talking about this latest survey, and they were talking about the Kentucky Derby coming up this Saturday. Ticket for the Kentucky Derby, which it doesn't say how much they spent on it, but I'm assuming that that's pretty expensive. They broke it up into four payment installments instead of dropping all the cash at once. Again, not something I would do or recommend, but you can see how it might make sense for some people. You want to go, you have an option. It's not that you can't afford it. You have an option to hold on to your money without paying interest for a little bit longer. Okay, maybe you do so. When you start to talk about groceries and the necessities, then it's a little bit different to me. Like, these are things that you should be able to afford on a weekly basis, yes. And you find yourself putting off the payments, that's when you start to get into like alarm bell territory.
Putting off the payments by necessity, or are they treating groceries like you would treat Coachella? Do you get what I'm saying?
I 100% get what you're saying. I don't think you have an answer to it.
No. But I mean, here's my thing, and I know I've said this a million times, Brian. I'm sorry that I sound like a broken record. But as someone who got themselves in a lot of trouble with, you know, credit cards, which let's just say are buy now, pay later. You have to know yourself, right? And I just hope the people who are doing this know that they're going to pay it back. That's the first thing. Dave Ramsey would say, if you want to go do something, you better have cash to pay for it. And I'm sure, hey, if these people are doing buy now, pay later out of necessity at the grocery store, yes, beyond alarm bells. But again, are you getting above the necessities? Because the grocery store now, Brian, you can get whatever you want, right? There's everything at the grocery store. So that would be my thinking about it. And again, you know, I'll use the Easy Mac. A lot easier for me to pop an Easy Mac in the microwave, but I'd rather save the $5.
I'm not a mac and cheese person, even though my kids love it. And so yeah, when you said Easy Mac, isn't it all easy?
Well, no, Easy Mac's the one that you put it, you know, it comes in a little cup, you add the water and put it in the microwave.
Squeeze cheese on
no,
after?
That's powder. Velveeta is the squeeze cheese. That's even more expensive.
Okay.
But the, you know, you can get the Wegmans box for like 55 cents, usually on sale. That makes two servings for him. So that's two cups of $4.99 for 50 cents. Yeah, it takes 7 minutes to heat up the noodles. Oh well. I'm going to save the $5.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's those decisions like that at the store. Again, I'm not pushing back that the economy could be better, obviously. But I do think a lot of people, especially in our age range, they go, hey, I'll have the money later. I'll have it down the road. I'm going to get the $28 steaks. I'm going to get the $5 mac and cheese for my kids. And they get everything expensive instead of, you know, trying to keep it under a certain number.
I know people are using this. Is it you? Let us know. 803-0930. We'll go to the phones. Mark is joining us here on WBEM. Mark, have you used this before? Buy now, pay later?
Absolutely not. I was telling the gentleman on the side phone there, I'm my mid-50s. I live on a meager, just under $2,000 a month retirement, own my own home. In fact, tax season, just got done paying my land taxes, things of that nature. My generation, looking at today's generation, is completely different. I have money in my savings. I have excellent credit. But I was raised with you buy what you need, not what you want. And people nowadays, it's either got to be the best out there for clout, $2,000 cell phone versus a I've got a $25 track phone. I've been using those style for years, and it does everything that theirs does. It gets me my main thing. I got a way of contacting somebody if I have an accident. But living within your means, I mean, I have not bought, unfortunately, just because things are a little snug right now. But people are crying about how it is now. Oh, geez, it was way worse years ago. Regardless of what you might have thought, you gotta say, okay, there's nothing wrong with the no name within reason. Or you gotta, okay, you got four pairs of sneakers, but what do you need another pair for? It's just people are not, and I see it everywhere, and I can let you on a little laugh for before I go. I got divorced about 12, 14 years ago. And it was a struggle while I was married. I mean, struggle. And that's with two separate incomes. Well, after my ex left, I was able to get all my ducks back in a good solid row again. And long story short, she saw me at the grocery store walking to my new truck. And she's like, well, did you get a raise?
That's right.
No. Well, kind how'd of. You do it?
Yeah.
She says,
Mark won the divorce. He's trying to let us know that Mark won the divorce.
Well, it's not so much that I won the divorce. It's just I got rid of somebody who would do what you're talking about right now. She would buy those instant macaroni and cheese things that you nuke for $5 a cup.
Yep.
Or buy $300 worth of soda pop a month. Versus, you know, what's wrong with water? I had two cans of coffee a month. Now I treat myself. I have three cans of coffee a month.
Yep.
But the thing is, when it dawned on her why I was living so much better, the priceless look on her face was reward enough for me. It's I got rid of excess baggage and expense.
Well,
but again, I can't say it enough. People need to live within their means. They're not going to die if they ain't got the most best of everything out
there. That's
right. I mean, and if you do these buy now, pay later, I'd be darned if I would ever pay $30 for a T-shirt unless it was from a truck show and it was made in America.
Well, hey, you know, in that case, you will be paying. Mark, thank you. Mark in Middleport on WBEN. I wonder what the – Mark's talking there, and I get to thinking, like, what is the difference between being thrifty and being cheap? Like, because there's a fine line there, isn't there? Like, no one – you know, when you're talking about going to the grocery store and getting, like, the store brand box mac and cheese versus, like, the name brand easier mac and cheese, like, no one's ever going to accuse you of being cheap for buying the less expensive option.
It tastes the same.
Actually, that's, like, barely being thrifty. That's almost – it's just being smart.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned steak. That's when I like, you know, like, I like a nicer steak, and money can make a difference there if you're buying a $5 steak versus one that might cost $15.
Right. You like it. But if you didn't have the money, I know Brian Mazurowski wouldn't go and buy the steak he can't afford.
Right, right, right. That's a, yeah, that, I mean, that's an important part of this.
Yeah.
But, like, is there a fine line between, you know, he mentioned don't buy a, like, this is one of my weaknesses of where do I spend my disposable income? It's always on the same stuff. Joe, I'm the same person I was when I was 16 years old. I'm the same person I've been my entire life. I like going to concerts and hockey games.
Yep.
And I, my entire wardrobe is basically band t-shirts and hockey jerseys, because those are the things that I've liked for my entire life. But you mentioned t-shirts. Like, if you are walking around all day in the, you know, the five pack of t-shirts, and that's what you bought, does it ever cross the line to being cheap? Like, I'm trying to find out, like, where's that fine line? Like, if you refuse to go out to dinner anywhere nice to take your lovely wife, ex-wife in Mark's case.
Yeah, that's cheap. Like, I think, you know.
But where do you end up crossing the line? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I mean, I think if you can't afford going, you know, don't go out every day, every week, but once a month, once every other month, I think, you know, most people could put enough money aside where you have that, and you're not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You're thrifty. You know, okay, I'm treating you to a nice Saturday night dinner.
But when you get
tomorrow, we're getting the 55-cent mac and cheese.
When you get that bill and you start counting pennies for the tip, then you're being a little cheap.
Well, if you're counting pennies, then you're going beyond your means. That goes back to what Mark was saying.
Yeah, you don't have to be going beyond your means. Like, some people will do that even if they could totally afford it.
Well, Brian, I want to be able to put cups down in my car, so we bring the change in and all spends the same.
Yeah, I understand that.
I don't think that's being cheap, though. If I'm leaving the same amount of tip, who cares how I give it to you?
No, I counting pennies. I mean, like, do I have to, you know, give 20%, or, you know,
that's
close
being
enough.
Cheap. That's being cheap.
That kind of thing.
As I said, if you want to go out and enjoy a meal, if you want your food delivered, the tip is part of it. Like, if you can't afford the tip, you can't afford the meal.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And I would classify myself as cheap, but I'm not going to go out if I can't tip. As someone who's worked on tips for 18 years, I'm not one who's going to go out if I can't tip. I think that is being cheap. If you go and you put $5 down for a $100 meal, you're being cheap.
I wonder if I'll buy another band t-shirt. This it will probably be $30. It's kind of like the going rate.
See, you say concerts and hockey. I think everyone knows my weaknesses. There's three sport teams that I mentioned too much on the radio.
Yeah.
Those are my weaknesses.
And you're all over them.
Yeah. Mets, Tech, Bills. Those are my weaknesses.
You mentioned the Made in America shirt. I know one band. They only will sell their shirts made in America.
You
know how much that the tag is on that? You go over to the merch table during the show?
$65.
No, $50 t-shirt. $65 for, like, long sleeve.
Okay, so I wasn't wrong.
No, but, like, $50 t-shirt.
Wow. But it's made in America.
They put a sign up so they know, like, hey, look.
Is it a nice t-shirt at least?
I mean, it's a t-shirt.
I got a $10 t-shirt on right now.
Like, that is, like, the one thing about a lot of these t-shirts. Like, in build quality, it's not, you're not, there's not that much wiggle room. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to be that much different than the other t-shirt. So you are really, yes, buying it on for the principle of being made in America.
Yes.
We'll go to Dave. Dave, you're on WBEN. What's going on?
You called it a jersey.
Yeah.
It's a sweater, God's sakes.
Well, it used to be.
No, that's all. I'm working in my little wood shop, making bird houses, and it's like, you called it a sweater, or a jersey, not a sweater. It's like, are you kidding me? You're a Buffalo guy. You're a hockey guy.
Yeah. Dave, would you call, like, remember the Atlanta Thrashers?
Yes.
Remember they had those blue ones they wore, and it had, like, the...
They were awful.
Yeah, but you call that a sweater?
That's what they're called, buddy. that's what
All right,
they're
pal.
Called. It's a sweater.
Hey, Dave, thanks for the call. You were right up until like 1999, and then they became jerseys.
Dave, I'm sorry.
They literally used to be sweaters.
I want to disagree with Brian, but he's right. I mean, just pull one out of your closet.
They literally used to be sweaters.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's still the hockey sweater. And then they really have changed everything about them. You can't call a modern jersey a sweater.
No, I will agree.
Even, like, a classic one like the Sabres still looks the same. Has a, you know, or the Canadiens one. You look at that stupid collar that they wear now because they're all like jersey-fied.
Right.
They're not sweaters anymore.
No, I agree. Dave called from Java. Mm-hmm. Had you heard of Java before?
Yeah.
My wife had never heard of Java till this weekend.
Ooh. I love this for a show someday. Just like the things like that you had no idea about or like your wife had no idea about that you thought were common knowledge.
She goes, "Where's that?" Now, to be fair, I had heard of Java, had no idea where it was. We looked it up on a map, but she had never heard of Java. Because
lived in Western New York your entire life?
Yeah, she's lived here her entire life. And because I was invited to go out and view Saturn in September in Java, and I'm looking forward to it, but she's like, "Where's that?" I go, "It's, you know, 40
Saturn
minutes.
In September.
Saturn and Titan, and you know my obsession with Titan."
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to hear the story when you see that little speck.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it. It's the best viewing at the end of September, and I got an invite on Friday, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Get a long ways
this,
to go.
This will be after. Well, I still have to read the book that the library hasn't even gotten to my branch yet.
Oh, okay. So that'll buy you some time.
Yeah, 200 some page book.
We'll be back here tomorrow with us, of course. David Bellavia is coming up next, and you're not going to want to miss it. He's speaking with Buffalo Police Detective Richard High, who made a lot of news over the weekend. More on that in the news with Lucas coming up. B. Madison Beamer. We'll be back tomorrow on WBEN.